following time has been purchased by Mike Mansfield. Now, Mike Mansfield.
My fellow Montanans, this is Mike Mansfield speaking. I want to, at this time, thank the people of Montana for the consideration you have always shown me over the years. I am grateful to you for your many kindnesses to me during this and previous campaigns. I have tried to see as many of you as I could so that I could become more aware of your problems, so that I could have the benefit of your advice and counsel, and so that I could be a better representative of the people of my state. My entire record and my personal background has been placed before you over the past 8 years, because everything I have done has been above board and for all to see. My record, while not perfect, is good, and I am proud of it. I have campaigned cleanly. I will finish the same way. My opponent has been indulging in personalities for the past 6 months, uttering outrageous falsehoods and raising a few legitimate issues. I shall try not to indulge in personalities, but I will expose his lies by telling you the truth. And I will declare my position not only on the issues which he has raised, but also on a number of others, and ask him to tell the people of Montana what he stands for. It is very easy to become personal in a campaign if a candidate desires to be elected, regardless of the truth and at any price. It is very easy to criticize, but very difficult to offer a constructive alternative. Never once have I heard my opponent mention Montana, our people, or our development. He has been a demagogue, as attested to by his statement in Butte on September 13th that, quote, Russian and Chinese soldiers slaughtering Americans in the streets of Butte and other Montana cities is a definite possibility, unquote. And claiming further, quote, such an occurrence could develop from the Mansfield report on China, unquote. This to me is a most despicable statement, and it hits a new low. Does he think that he can fool and frighten the decent, hardworking citizens of Montana by making such an outrageous statement? My opponent, according to the Missoulian of July 19th, asked, quote, why Mansfield failed to defend American freedoms on the Mount-Nixon bill, unquote. Surely he has gone over my record with a fine-tooth comb and knows that I voted for the Mount-Nixon bill 2 years ago and for the McCarran anti-subversive bill last month. He states, according to the speech which he made before the Republican State Convention last summer, that I said that the communists in China were, quote, agrarian reformers. He is entirely mistaken, because what I said in the report, and it was based on talks with Pat Hurley, Chenault, Wedemeyer, and others, was that the interests of the Chinese communists, quote, seem to focus on agrarian reforms, unquote. It might interest the people of Montana to know, and I am sure it will come as a surprise to my opponent, that General Patrick Hurley, former ambassador to China and former Republican Secretary of War in the Hoover cabinet, stated in a speech before the Washington Press Club on November 29, 1945, long after my report on China was published, quote, the only difference between Chinese communists and Oklahoma Republicans is that the Oklahoma Republicans are not armed, unquote. Furthermore, Hurley also said, and I read from the record, quote, before the Yalta Conference, February 1945, I suggested to President Roosevelt a plan to force the national government, that is of China, to make more liberal political concessions in order to make possible a settlement with the communists. The president did not approve the suggestion, unquote. Remember, that's Pat Hurley, the Republican, speaking, not Mike Mansfield. My opponent also tries to make you believe that the warning I received from Sun Tzu in my report about, quote, an idealistic bond between Yunnan and Russia, unquote, was not passed on to the president or Congress. The warning was passed on, not only to the President and Congress, but to every newspaper in Montana, and to the American people generally, and even to my opponent, because I sent him a copy of my report. If you will read the fifth paragraph on the first page of this speech delivered to the Republican Convention in Helena last summer, you will note that he states, quote, I first received a copy of the Mansfield Report on China during the spring of 1945, unquote. Furthermore, and I am sure people listening in will find this of interest, I received a letter from my opponent dated December 5, 1945, from the Port Director's Office, Seattle, Washington, 13th Naval District. The last paragraph, and I hold it in my hand, Old Fort Television, reads as follows, and this is from my opponent, quote, well, Mike, keep up your excellent work. I know that you have a good slant on things, and goodness knows there is the greatest need for vision into and action on America's problems. Sincerely yours, Lieutenant Ralph Y. McGinnis, USNR, unquote. You will note that in his speech last August, he stated that he received a copy of the Mansfield Report on China in the spring of 1945. This portion of the letter, which I have just read, was dated December 5, 1945. Why did it take my opponent so long, 5 years, to tell the people about these charges of his? Why didn't he write to me and call them to my attention and demand an explanation? Why is he using such low-down gutter snipe tactics now? Is mud-swinging, character assassination, and political ambition the answer? Does he think that by using the Hitler and Stalin technique of the big lie that he can hoodwink the people of Montana? He also states that because of the Mansfield Report, President Truman in 1945 informed our faithful ally, Nationalist China, that unless the communists were admitted to the government, the United States would supply no further aid. In answer, I want to state that my opponent has greater access to White House information than I have. The president at no time has informed me that my report was the basis for any of his actions in China. The distortion in this assertion becomes even more evident when it is realized that aid of one sort or another has continued almost without interruption since VJ Day and is indeed going forward to Formosa today. We have supported the Chinese nationalists all the time. Why didn't he tell you that I am one of those who have believed in this policy and that I am against recognition of Red China and against admitting her to the UN? Remember, too, the quotation I read a few moments ago wherein I showed, from the record, that Republican Pat Hurley suggested a nationalist-communist coalition government to President Roosevelt, and Roosevelt turned him down. My opponent also states, quote, at no time since World War II has he opposed the State Department policy of appeasing communist aggression, unquote. When in doubt, be indefinite. What appeasements? Where do they take place? Is voting for aid to Greece and Turkey appeasement? Is voting for the Marshall Plan in Europe to stop communism appeasement? Is supporting the North Atlantic Pact and voting for the Mutual Defense Assistance Act to arm our friends in Western Europe appeasement? Is supporting the Berlin Airlift appeasement? Is voting for military aid to China, the Philippines, Iran, and Korea appeasement? By the way, my opponent has stated that, quote, the blood of every American killed in our war against communism should cling to the conscience of my opponent, Mike Mansfield, unquote. This is so despicable a charge that it is contemptible. Why doesn't he tell you that the bill for aid to Korea was defeated by a vote of 192 to 191 in the House on January the 19th this year? And why doesn't he tell you that of the 192 who voted to kill the Korean aid bill, 130 were Republicans who lined up with Mark Antonio, the party liner from New York, the killer? Why doesn't he tell you that I led the fight for the first aid to Korea bill, and that I fought to have the second Korean Formosan bill, which passed, brought up? The Republicans led the fight against aid to Korea and Formosa and called it, quote, Operation Rat Hole, unquote. My opponent even states that my report on China helped to create the war in Korea today. This is a contemptible effort to capitalize for political purposes on the anxiety of all Americans over events in Korea and the risks to which our young men are being subjected there. Korea is not mentioned once in my report of 1945. There is, on the other hand, ample warning of the danger to the peace in the Far East if China did not set its house in order and thereby forestall imperialistic intervention by the Soviet Union. He states further, quote, ever since 1945, I doubted and questioned his inference that we had nothing to fear from communism in China, unquote. There is no such implication anywhere in the report. On the contrary, for those who have eyes to read it honestly, there is a clear-cut warning of the danger of civil war in China, and if it came, the possibility of, quote, intervention of a great power in the Chinese internal situation. That is precisely what has happened, because as every child knows, Russia is the power behind communist China today. Remember his letter to me of August 1945, complimenting me on my position? My opponent infers and implies what exists in his mind, and fortunately I am not responsible for that. The stated facts disprove his contention and show him up for what he really is. It is a strange kind of logic that interprets the clear warning of a dangerous situation as meaning there is nothing to fear. I wonder what my opponent would have had me report. Would he want me to lie, to tell or tell the truth? Would he bear false witness to catch a vote? If he would, he is not fit for any office, let alone representing us in the Congress of the United States. You are entitled to know my full record as your representative, and you are entitled to know my background and my opponent's too. As far as our backgrounds are concerned, I do not need to tell you that I was raised in Great Falls, worked in the smelters there and in the mines in Butte, and that I served in the Navy during the First War at the age of 14 and later in the Army and Marine Corps as an enlisted man. You all know that, and also that I taught at our university for 10 years before going to Congress. But what do you know of my opponent's background? Why doesn't he spell it out for you? What has he said in his campaign that indicates he is interested in us, our future, and the development of our state? Is he afraid to give credit where credit is due for Hungry Horse, Canyon Ferry, the Bonneville Lines, the Libby Dam, the REAs, the New Industries, and the Butte Anaconda, and the Hungry Horse areas, and all the other things we have all done together to build Montana? No, Montana and its people are not worth mentioning by my opponent. Peace to him is only worth mentioning to the extent that he says in his report, did you know he made a report too? That, quote, the United Nations could not prevent a third world war, unquote. I do not subscribe to his defeatist attitude about world peace because I will never let up in my efforts to achieve it. Neither do I subscribe to his defeatist attitude about the UN because it is man's best and perhaps last hope for peace. I will fight to keep it going, to strengthen it, to participate in it, because I believe that the lives of our people are the most important resources we have. My opponent asked me what my stand is on CBA and Senate Bill 1645. It is all I can do to read as many of the 9,600 House bills introduced in the 81st Congress without having to go over to the Senate and reading its bills too. Consequently, I have not read S-1645. I do want the people of Montana to know, though, as I have told you repeatedly over the years, that I am not against the CBA or any other similar idea, because I think every measure should be considered on its merits, and I would welcome discussion on the House floor of the CBA bills introduced in the Senate. Furthermore, I have been doing my best to get both the proper House and Senate committees to come to Montana to hold public meetings so the wishes of the people could become known. I feel that any measure which would bring about greater economy of operation, do away with duplication of services, decrease the number of bureaus, and bring about benefits for the people in the area concerned should be given every serious consideration. However, as I have also stated repeatedly to the people of Montana, I would not be in favor of any kind of bill, CDA or otherwise, regardless of what it would do, if it meant another attack on the level of Flathead Lake, if it meant that Montana would not get first and major use out of the waters of our state, and if it would not mean added benefits, more jobs, and greater security to our people. My opponent preaches economy, wraps the Bannon plan, and comes out with what he calls, quote, a sensible farm program, unquote. What a gem. What is it? We would like to pass judgment on it. Does he want us to continue to pile up $350 million worth of government-purchased meat, milk, eggs, and potatoes? This food should be made available to the people in regular market channels at reasonable prices. That's what the trial run of the Bannon plan proposed to do. Give the farmer and consumer a break and take the food out of the caves. He says he will reduce taxes and pose leather on the bureaucrats. How does he propose to produce economies? How does he propose to reduce taxes? And why should he, of all people, find fault with bureaucrats? I wish my opponent would tell the people of Montana if in his 10 years' residence in our state, he has ever worked for private enterprise. I know that he has drawn his salary from either the state or the federal government during his entire residence in our state. And in my book, that makes him a bureaucrat. And last night in Missoula, he said, quote, anything a bureaucrat does or says must be open to suspicion, unquote. He says he's against socialism at home and communism abroad. That sounds good, makes a fine slogan, and I'm all for it. But what specific legislation passed by Congress does he consider socialistic? What laws on the books would he repeal? Are Social Security, REAs, rural telephone, veterans care, and benefits socialistic? As far as being against communism abroad is concerned, he should brush with shame at the record of the majority of his party, because they joined with Mark Antonio, the party liner, in obstructing, cutting down, and voting against every foreign policy bill we tried to enact into law. I wonder who's trying to make a sucker out of whom. Who has been giving lip service to the battle against communism, and who's been in there pitching for measures designed to hit the Reds where it really hurts? Why doesn't he be specific and tell you what he really stands for? What is his position on the sales tax, Tidelands oil, Facing Point, natural gas bill, excess profits tax, minimum wages, Social Security, REAs, the McCarran bill, and antitrust legislation? What is his position on martial aid, military assistance, Point 4, recognition of Red China, and admission of her to the UN? What is his position on Montana? The people know where I stand on every one of these questions. Where do you stand? This is Mike Mansfield saying good night, folks, until next Monday at the same time on the same stations.
The preceding time was purchased by Mike Mansfield speaking on behalf of his own candidacy for Congress. This program originated in Butte.